Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get going, everyone, I'm going to start and say a couple of things, and then we're going to go to Janice, who's going to share some things, and then we're going to go to the people that attended the events, let them, you know, raise their hand, and then everybody be able to speak, and then the people who were unable to attend will be able to jump in and, you know, share their thoughts. Just, we want everybody to share the things that they would like to share in the time that we have. And before I get started, I ended up with somebody's blue hoodie. So if you had a really nice blue hoodie, let me know later. But it was in our stuff, the war stuff. Okay. All right. First thing I want to do, well, I got something from Charlie and Pauline Sullivan. Charlie and Pauline, were given the humanitarian award, for, you know, we weren't able to give it to them at the designated time. Pauline's been not feeling well, so she wasn't there. When we wanted to present it. Anyway, so, they sent a message and said they really appreciate it. And all Charlie could say when he saw it was, oh, he was so overwhelmed. You know, he's a sweetheart. So anyway, and then I got a message from Paul Shannon. And he said, hi, Vicki, before much more time goes by, I just want to congratulate you on a wonderful conference. One of the attendees also told me that the vigil was wonderful. Amazing that you pull the whole thing off so successfully, given all the difficulties. And then he said, unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight because of an ARSO board meeting. So that was nice of Paul. And Paul was on the panel with Janice and I. Okay, so... first I want to say how appreciative I am, because it was a challenge, but we did it, and I am so appreciative of everyone that stayed the course, came to the events, and we were just elated at the turnout. And the positive comments. So thank you all. And I think Janice is going to plan something for next year. She can share that later. Okay, but that's it. And the last thing is, some of you were on one of the transport bus, and then the bus filled up. There was 20-something, and Chuck, you can correct me if I'm wrong. There was 28 people that were not allowed to, they had to get off the bus, right? And our contract said that the bus was supposed to drop people off, circle around, come back, and get the other people. And the guy said, no, that's not, you know, whatever. He supposedly called somebody, from what I'm told. I was in the process of driving the truck that we drove to D.C. from St. Louis to D.C. with the casket and everything in it. Because it was going to cost us $1,000 just for miles if we rented a vehicle from Enterprise, and the $530-something to rent the vehicle. So one of our members, you know, said that he and I could drive his truck, and so we did. Okay. So we're asking, if you were on that bus and you, you know, heard or participated in the conversation, we're asking you, and I think Chuck can maybe put it in the chat box. We're asking you, because the transportation company wants to hear from people that were there, either, you know, involved in the conversation or made to get off the bus, whatever. So, because we're asking for some of our money back. It cost us $1,900 for those buses. And they didn't live up to their contract. So Can you raise your hand if you were on that bus and if you know what I'm talking about? Okay, Sharon, Vicky, Anne, and that's on the first page. Oh, can't even see on the second page. Okay, so if you, Chuck, can you find that and put it up or what?
Yeah, I'm getting email address now.
Okay.
And I'll post it here. That's the email address for the bus company. And they think that the bus driver offered to make multiple trips, and we turned him down that we didn't want multiple trips. And, of course, I told the bus driver we needed multiple trips, and he refused to do multiple trips. So we need some other people that heard the bus driver refuse to do a second trip to pick people up.
I heard it, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay. So if you'll just, if you guys will just copy down the email address to send it to, Sarah is the lady's name, at the transportation company. And then, wait a minute. Oh, there it is. I see it now, Chuck. Okay. It's restoncoach@gmail.com, reston coach, coach at gmail.com. Okay. All right. So we got that. Janice, I'm going to, turn everything over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Vicki. Let me put my hand down here. I will tell you that I thought that the conference was fabulous and the vigil was even more fabulous. The fact that I'd say about 100 people showed up at the conference, that was a good number. And then we had 70 people who showed up at the vigil, which was totally unexpected, especially since we didn't have the best weather. It was cold, it was windy, and we showed up anyway. And I truly believe that the vigil should be repeated every year until they, the U.S. Supreme Court, either one, takes one of our cases up on review, or two, overturns Smith versus Doe, because it's really up to them. They have the discretion whether or not to take a case. And at this point in time, they haven't been willing to. The closest that they got to it was the Gundy case, but that wasn't that close. And then right now, maybe there's a case, it's just beginning, the Pacific Legal Foundation, with them challenging the SORNA regulations. But, you know, folks, it's really not that hard to figure out. And it's so ironic, I believe, that the man who argued for the state of Alaska in that case, Smith versus Doe, is now the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think those two things are related, but the fact is they happened. And so he's in a good position right now, right, as the leader of the court, then he can in fact admit that, yes, they made a mistake. Well, by the way, he made a mistake when he was the private attorney representing the state of Alaska, and then the court, of course, made a worse mistake. And I kept calling it a terrible mistake because that indeed is what it is. And the reason I, you know, have talked about this issue for years is because it really is a fundamental problem that just is infecting everybody's life. And I'm using the word infecting on purpose. I understand from a novel I read many years ago about weaving that and if there's any weavers here, correct me if I've got this wrong, but I understand in every tapestry that's made, there's a something called a warp thread. There's one thread. If you pull that one thread, guess what? The whole tapestry comes apart. Okay. And I see this decision as that thread in the tapestry. And if we can pull the thread on this, guess what? All this other nonsense that other courts are talking about, because they keep repeating Smith versus Doe. They keep repeating, you know, the reoffense rate is frightening and high, up to 80%. And I hope there aren't any other U.S. Supreme Court decisions that are based upon magazine articles, because that one is, you know, when you take a statement, and Vicki, maybe at some point you want to talk about the person who uttered that statement, who has retracted a statement. And he's like, well, that was a marketing statement that I made. You know, I said, yeah, the reoffense rate's up to 80%, but gosh gee whiz, if they just come and get my counseling, we can cut it in half, right, to 40%. So that wasn't, you know, after decades of research. And there is a person who has, with him and his team, who has done decades worth of research about reoffense rates. And that's Dr. Carl Hansen from Canada. And he's, you know, come to the United States, and his minions and stuff. And they have been studying reoffense rates for decades, right? And if you look at what Dr. Carl Hansen says, you know, if somebody's in the community, this is just one example, and I'd love to say it over and over again so you get to hear it today. If somebody's been in the community for 17 years and they haven't reoffended, they're basically not going to reoffend. 17 years. So and I focus on that because in California, and I think in every state, there are still lifetime tiers with, you know, in states that have tiered registries. Why does anybody have a lifetime registry anymore? If in fact somebody's out 17 years and they haven't reoffended, ta-da, they're not going to reoffend. So we don't need a registry. And there's those kinds of things. So I digress, but it's important, I think, that we all know some basic facts about the registry, the basic facts about reoffense rates and everything, so that we can just repeat them over and over again. And, you know, you're going to get like me, that you can just pull these things out of your brain at a moment's notice. Here's another one. You can quote this one too, that the rate of reoffense while a registrant is on parole is less than 1%. Now, how many people have heard that? Less than 1%, right? The U.S. Supreme Court needs to know that. No frightening high, no up to 80%. It's less than 1%. Why would everybody be spending so many resources, right, to try to stop something that has a probability of less than 1%? And I know what the point, the less than 1% is. It's about half of 1%, but I don't want to even go there. We're just going to say it's less than 1%. Okay. So this is, again, information that we need to bring to the court. I think that the turnout this vigil was good. 70 people showed up. I think next year it's going to be better because there were a lot of people who were afraid. They were afraid that there was going to be physical harm there. People were afraid of all kinds of things. I was afraid I was going to get cold. Oh, well, I got a little cold, but who cares? There's reasons, right? There are good reasons to get cold sometimes. So we need to plan to go back to Washington, D.C., to do the vigil every year. I will tell you, you know, I'm now making a commitment. I'm going to be there every year until they overturn that decision. I actually hope to be the attorney who argues the case that overturns Smith versus Doe. I don't know if I can live that long, but I certainly hope so. And I've gotten myself admitted to their bar association. So if I have a case, they can't tell me no. Is my understanding. And if somebody else brings a case forward, like the Pacific Legal Foundation, that's great too. I'll carry their briefcase. But what about you? What message am I trying to deliver to you? Plan in March of next year, March of 2024, plan to be in Washington, D.C. Maybe we'll do it a little bit later in the month, hoping that we get a little bit better weather, but you never know in D.C. about the weather. But the fact is we need to go back and our numbers need to grow every year. I also, you know, think that next year, now that we've had this one experience, we have more information about how to attract the national media. I think, you know, one of the things people didn't realize, and maybe you don't even know about me, I lived in D.C. for 10 years and I worked on Capitol Hill. And, you know, which is right by the Supreme Court. There's protests going on in front of the Supreme Court almost every day. Okay. Not to mention L'Enfant Park over there by the White House. There's protests going on all the time. And when some people were crying, you know, oh my gosh, somebody could get hurt in a protest. Well, I guess so, but there was a better chance that somebody might stumble and fall off a curb or something like that than anything else, because nothing bad happened, folks. Not even one thing. There were no hecklers there. There's certainly no physical violence. And even though some people have limited mobility, guess what? Nobody even fell off the curb. So we didn't have to do any first aid. Vicki, I see there's a hand up.
Well, okay. We weren't going to take questions or anything at this time. Are you going to talk about the, Courtney, we'll get to you in just a minute.
Sure, I will. Yeah, I know. You're going to say.
If you'll talk about the other stuff and then we'll move on.
Yeah. So during the conference, Vicky and I, along with Paul Shannon from Narsal, we were all on a panel, and it was kind of like a shooting gallery. At least that's how it felt to me, Vicky. In other words, we were sitting up there and people were shooting us with questions. Now, we got the questions, I don't know, an hour or so ahead of time. There was a breakout session before that, the day before that and stuff. And so people were talking about things that were distilled into questions. And what we all heard, the three of us, and by the way, why Vicky, Paul and I, because we've been around this movement for a very long time. Okay. I'm not saying anybody's old, but just we've been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the fact is they're like, okay, you big mouse, get up there and we're going to throw questions at you. And that's what happened. And so we tried to figure out ahead of time, but we've even done much more thinking afterwards. And what we're thinking about is that there really is something we need to form together. We need to create a coalition that takes all the resources and the human resources and the financial resources and every resource we can scrape up to come together and try to figure out how it is that we're going to abolish the registry. So we're all in agreement that the registry needs to be abolished. Just please understand that. What we haven't been in agreement in the past is how we get there. And we may not even reach an agreement about how to get there. But again, if we all have the same thing that we're targeting, that I think we have a much better chance of getting there. So Vicky, a different person from Narsal, Brenda Jones, who's their executive director, and me, so three executive directors from those three groups, we had a meeting yesterday, and during that meeting, we said, yes, let's take the next step toward creating a coalition, and what could that coalition look like? So we put together, actually, Brenda developed the first statement of how we're going to get together, you know, actually common values. That's what it really is. It's a statement of common values because, you know, that's some saying about, you know, before you, when you get your gun out, you're supposed to aim first, and then you shoot, right? So the same thing here. Not that I'm a gun owner. I'm not, but the fact is, that's why I'm stumbling. But the fact is that we need to figure out where we're going. I much prefer that kind of comparison. You know, you get out your map, your old fashioned map, your Thomas Brothers or whatever, and you go, well, here I am right here. And this is where we're going to go. Let's pretend we don't have GPS, right? Because we don't have GPS for our issue, right? I wish we did. So the fact is we know where we are today. And the question is, where do we want to be ultimately? And so what we're trying to do here is rough out a statement, the three of us, and then we're going to present that statement not to individuals, but to organizations. So you're all lovely people and you have your opinion is important, but we're asking first for the organizations to come together and then the organizations can spread the word again about these common values. And I guess I will mention one thing, an idea that Vicky had that I just love. And I don't know how many of you have watched the movie The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or seen the or read the book, but you know, it's about these magic pair of pants that just fit no matter who they get sent to. And so what we're planning to do is we're planning to take the backdrop for the conference in DC and to use the conference at the NARS in Narsal. So Narsal's conference is in June in Texas, and Vicky and I have already signed up. We're going to be there. And then in California, we're going to have our conference in October. And again, we'll have the backdrop there somewhere. We may not be using it in exactly the same way, but we now have the dimensions of it and we can create a frame in Texas and in California so that we can, in fact, use that banner. I mean, it's going to be a very visible reminder to everybody that, in fact, we're a coalition. So I'm really, really enthusiastic about this. I think you can tell. And I'm really happy that we've gotten as far as we have, but we know we've got a long way to go.
And one of the things that we did discuss too is, which could be on some people's minds, is how do we get to where we want to go? And as Janice said, that's, you know, that's a major thing. But we also recognize that we're going to need, someone that is qualified to be a mediator or a negotiator or whatever you want to call them. And so the organizations that participate will all need to come together and pay someone to do that, to get where we need to go.
Somebody really, yeah, who's neutral, because there have been some differences of opinion in between some groups. And so, you know, we're trying to get beyond those and not look backward, look forward. And, I think that I agree with Vicky that somebody who's a professional facilitator, that's mm-hmm. the word that I would prefer to use, that can mm-hmm. help us stay focused instead of, well, you know, 3 years ago, this happened, blah, blah. Instead, let's focus on, again, where we are today. And where we want to be ultimately.
Okay. Anybody got any questions at this point? And then we'll start with the people that were attending. Courtney, did you say you have no, let me see if I can unmute you. Chuck, can you unmute her?
Can you hear me or no? Or?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Is this Courtney or?
Okay, so my name, I see that I'm coming up on a closed caption. I don't know if that knows, that means that you guys hear me.
We can hear you.
Mm-hmm. You hear me. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So my name is Raymond. I'm sitting in for Courtney, who had a business meeting. I think I can help on a number of fronts. And I've exchanged emails with Janice. I was unable to attend the Washington meeting. It was just too soon for me to get permission. I can attend the next one. Also, I can attend California. I live in San Diego. If there are other members who are in San Diego, I have room on my plane to fit you if you need a free ride up to where that is. I think it's probably going to be Sacramento. I think I can bring some weight to the field. I want to tell you who I am, and I don't want anyone to react negatively. Okay, so my father was G. Gordon Liddy. He was a national figure. He's written many books, what have you. I was convicted based on circumstantial evidence for having five images that were in unallocated space. So that's the negative thing about having a last name, is that the U.S. attorneys think that's fabulous that they convicted me on five images I never saw, were never opened, but were in unallocated space. So here I am. So I'm on probation. I didn't go to prison or anything like that. However, I think God sent me here to help all of you. I was put in touch with Janice, with a mutual friend, and I'm here to support. I think that the, just as you had mentioned, I think California's tier system is ridiculous. I'm going to turn 60 next year, and the reoffense rates go way down after that. So, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is, to help. But my thought was, I was taking a lot of notes. So, okay. So California conference, I'll be there. With respect to your issues with travel, I wish I was there, because I would have read those guys the Riot Act. And I would have made sure that the transportation occurred as smoothly as possible. You know, $1,000 to, you know, for the buses, something that's very easy for me. So, the other thing too is with respect to, and by the way, not only am I Gordon Liddy's son, I'm also a retired, Fulbright Colonel in the Marine Corps. And a retired deputy attorney general for the state of California. I'm not disbarred yet, but I'm sure I'm going to be disbarred soon. But irrespective of whether or not they disbar me, I still have my law degree, and I'm willing to put my brain power as it is. I'm not the brightest person on the earth, but I'd be more than happy to help anyone. But my wife and I are really, really, my wife of 22 years, we're really annoyed about this, because I was targeted. The fact that I have a felony charge for having five unopened, inaccessible image really just shows that they're just hunting and going for whatever. So I'm full in on this. I support Janice. I will support any case that comes up to the Supreme Court. I also think that we need to target my sister used to work for ALEC, which is a lobby firm that focuses on state level. So I do think we need to have a two-tier plan. Not only go after the Supreme Court, as Janice said, and if she's got a case that can go after, I think she said Smith versus Doe, I'm more than willing to put some money behind that. But also we need to attack at the state level. We need to attack certain states that have just onerous registration. California is bad, but it's not as bad as, say, Tennessee or some other states. So I'll just end with this. One, I can help you in D.C. And with respect to the weather in D.C., it's better to go in March than August. I will tell you, if it's raining, you're having a good time. In August, when you get off the plane and your sunglasses fog because it's 90 degrees and 90% humidity, I grew up in that area. Not a good thing. So let's set weather aside. But I've got some political connections that I think can help, and I'm going to work with Janice on that. I have a very good reputation with a lot of folks who don't believe this thing that came at me. But I've got some connections in D.C. I know how the system works. I think we need to work with ALEC on state levels. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do. I'm not rich. You know, I wish I was a billionaire. I'm not. But I've got enough money to push and apply to very good causes and legal arguments that seem to have weight. And that's all I wanted to say. And Janice, is lovely to see you on cam. Sorry, I don't have a cam. But Janice, I think I sent you a little bit, and I'll talk to you about other organizations that you think need some money pressed behind them. And I'll be more than willing to help with that. So with that, thank you everyone for listening to me. I appreciate it, but I'm in this for the fight because this is just friggin' wrong. It is just friggin' wrong. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Raymond. Good to hear from you again. Now we're going to go and we're going to ask those who attended any or all of the DC events if you want to share your experience, whatever. Then if you'll raise your hand, and then Chuck and I will try to get around to everybody that attended first, and then once all those hands are down, then we'll go to other people that were unable to attend. So I don't see any hands yet. Do you, Chuck?
Yeah, there's four hands up.
You grab the first one. I can't see it.
Let's see. We've got Bonnie Burkhart.
Okay, go ahead with Bonnie. Bonnie, did you unmute her?
Tried to.
I want to just thank everyone for allowing me to give a talk at the convention. I thought it was very nice, but also if I could give a little shout out to Courtney Liddy. I know your sister, Sandy Liddy, and I met your dad, and I would really like to work with you if you could contact me. So anyway, I thought the convention was very nice, and just nice to see everyone coming together for this issue. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie. Next, we're going to go over to David Chung and Susan.
Go ahead.
Hi there.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that it was with trepidation that we came up to the convention, because I've been on a registry since 1995 and am currently on it in two different states. And so I'm always kind of looking over my shoulder because I work in one state, but I'm employed in another state. But it was so encouraging to see the people that came. Though I must admit that first plenary speaker we had, it was a little bit depressing to hear how Virginia just sidestepped all the laws that are on the book. But going to the other workshops, hearing the other speakers, I left with a great deal of hope, which is usually in pretty short supply with people on the registry. And it was, I'm so glad that we came and look forward to going to more of these. Not a fan. We used to live in Northern Virginia and not a fan of getting back into that traffic, because a lot less traffic here in Western North Carolina than there is in Metro DC. So I had one question for Janice. Because when I came back, I was trying to find that article. Who was the author of that article? Was it Psychology Today that it came out in that had the incredibly high, incredibly wrong rate?
The article was by a therapist named Joseph Longo, and it was in a Psychology Today magazine from 1985. Then Professor Ira Ellman and his researcher wife, Tara, walked it back and discovered the full truth. And Mr. Longo is going to be put on the stand in a lawsuit here in Missouri in a couple months, as well as Carl Hansen is going to testify too. But Mr. Longo has walked it back many times since Frightening and High came out. Okay, let's see. Is that it, Davis? Okay, all right. Let's see. Let's go to Roger Honeycutt. We're going to go across here. Roger, go ahead.
Oh. Hey, everybody. Yeah, it was awesome. I really, I was encouraged. You know, I wasn't sure how it would come together, but number one, we had a conference. Number two, we got to talk to our legislators, and we had the vigil. So it all happened. You know, not everything goes together perfectly or smoothly. It never does. But I just saw hope in so many people's eyes. You know, I think just coming together is a big part of that.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but my psychology is I would tend to want to isolate. I think that hiding in a rabbit hole, you know, and not taking waves will, keep fox from, you know, biting me, but that's not the way it works, right? We can be in our hidey holes and, the legislators keep making bad laws, worse and worse. They come into our, drag us out of our comfortable holes. And then there's so many people who don't have a comfortable hole, right? They don't have good housing. They don't have jobs. They don't have money. They don't have hope. But having everybody there together for a common cause, standing in front of the Supreme Court, I mean, that's amazing, you know, to think there it is. There's our goal. It makes it real. It made it real, me seeing that and going, okay, that's our goal. You know, it's not going to be easy to get there. But as Janice put in her message, we have a very clear message. The details, they'll come. The fact that all of you are here, the fact that, many of you came, means that you are justice warriors. You want to make a change. You're not willing to just, you know, get by and not make waves. You guys are willing to make a difference. And that inspires me. And when we, our little group went out to talk to the legislators, I wasn't quite sure how that would come together, because none of the legislators I talked to were willing to make any appointments with me. But our little team went around, and maybe a couple of the people who went with me want to comment on that too. But it was pretty cool. Even when we got no's, we still got to give them information, and they asked for information. You know, well, email us this, email us that. And then there was one couple in particular who went to their representative, and whoa, we had like a 20-25 minute discussion there with one of the staff, and he was asking questions, and that was from nothing. It just happened because, you know, as Woody Allen says, 90% of success in life is just showing up. And I think that's what we did. We showed up, didn't quite know how it was going to come together, what was going to happen, but it did. And I'm feeling optimistic. I love the show of unity. That's the most important thing we got out of the whole thing. We're going to have unity, fight together. You know, united we stand, right? So it's an honor to work with all of you for justice. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. And just to add to what Roger said, the group that we went, the Missouri group, went to Senator Josh Hawley's office. We had an hour-long meeting with a staffer, and the film crew, film guys were there, the documentary film guys were there. They recorded everything, moved around the room. She took notes. And so it was a really good, good visit. And then we left there, and Ben, the producer, said, "Do you have an appointment with your other senator?" And I said, "No, he doesn't like us too well," because I experienced him in Missouri legislature. I said, "But we're going to bust in." And he goes, "Bust in? Okay." So we just knocked on the door and went in, and they kept looking to see how many people were coming in, but they listened. One guy got up and went and got a card and gave it to somebody there with us. So it, you know, we did have good visits. We didn't have a lot of people that, you know, wanted to meet with us, but that will change. That will change, and we have to keep pushing it forward. And we will be focusing on DC and pushing it forward. So, okay, who we got? Let's see. Ted, what did you, Ted, go ahead and share what you experienced in DC.
You know, I've been doing this now, just short of 20 years, and I didn't even decide to buy my rental car, hotel, airplane, everything till Friday morning, and just kind of went on a limb. And, you know, it seemed like it provided a lot of see like other people going through kind of the same circumstance, because I felt pretty alone in this entire situation, like ever since it's happened. You know, when I'm in public or around other people, I'm super bubbly, you know, super talkative, life of the party. But it's when I'm by myself that it's a horrible place to be. But I think the conference, I learned a lot in it, things I didn't know, met a lot of really nice people, and then going to the Supreme Court, there was a lot of bystanders that just walked up that I talked to that actually took it pretty a lot better than I thought. Like, I was one of the people that was just like, oh man, should I actually go do this? 'Cause I was so worried that we were going to have other people protesting against us or, you know, say hurtful stuff. But I think everything went pretty good. I would definitely go back again. I know, and I don't know if Janice has seen anything about it, but I do know that during one of the speakers, they said that they were going to mention something when we were going to go on top of to the hill to speak. But then he said, I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want you guys thinking about it. But I guess a new thing passed, and I guess they're going to try to put it in the Senate. And what I read, it came from a Democrat from Washington and a Republican from Utah, where the feds want to take over the registry and make it a two-tier system and every single registrant have an ankle monitor. And I guess they're going to try to put that in a vote here shortly. Kind of worries me a little bit, to be honest.
Okay. That's, Ted, if you could, if you can get, you know, something, or if anybody knows anything about it.
It was, you know, it was really detailed, the what I read. Mm-hmm. It was done on your very first offense was 20 years. Your second offense was doing it for life, unless you were violent offender, which as long as you just have the word aggravated like I do in mm-hmm. the name of it, not knowing what the word aggravated means, means I would do it for life, which I'm already doing it for life. But every single person will get GPS monitored. They said that they will enact a new division, kind of like the FBI or mm-hmm. U.S. Marshals. Their only job is to go around and do compliance checks. When you mess up on compliance checks, it'll now be a federal crime with your first offense up to 10 years in a federal penitentiary and your second offense up to lifetime. And that they wanted to close loopholes, how different states all have different tier systems or no tier system or this rule for this group of people. And mm-hmm. then they want the federal government just to take over the entire registry. But I guess mm-hmm. it was went through a committee on Thursday, last Thursday, and went through. And I guess now they're going to go ahead and try pushing the bill into the Senate to be voted on.
Okay. Well, all right. Thanks, Ted. We're going to move on. If anybody has information or the bill number as to what he's referring to, please put it in the chat, because it's something that we need to know. Evidently, the federal government hasn't screwed everything up good enough yet. So anyway, thanks, Ted, for that. If you can put your hand down, and then if you have what we need now, thanks to you, then we will, you know, we'll look at it more later. Okay, so we're going to go to, let's see, Sharon Martin. I unmuted you. Whoops, Chuck. I think Chuck and I are both doing it. Okay, you should be unmuted. Sharon.
Hi, I thought that the conference was incredible. I met some wonderful people, and I was so impressed with everyone that went to the vigil. And I was really impressed by a young man that went to the vigil and did not wear a coat. And he was representing a person, a registrant, that during some very bad weather went to the went to some Salvation Army or something, and they would not allow that person in. Therefore, that person froze to death. That registrant froze to death. And this young man was representing that person that did that, and it was very cold. And he at the end, everyone, there were so many people that were loving on this young man and trying to make him warm. And it was so touching that he put himself out there. And it was just an incredible symbol of what the registrants go through. And I made a few very nice friends. And then I came home and joined another group, Florida Action Committee, and I hope to get involved with that and stay involved with everything that's going on to advocate for my son. So I am so happy I went, and it was an experience I don't think I'll forget for a very, very long time.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Okay, if you want to lower your hand, Sharon, that would be great. I'm going to go to Joanne. Let's see. Okay, I unmuted you.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank Vicki for putting on an incredible, incredible conference. I know she really put in a ton of work, and I want to thank her. The speakers were fantastic, and all of them were. I think that what I learned, because I'm relatively new to this, is how to frame the issue when talking to somebody, whether it's an acquaintance or whether it's a lawmaker, how to frame it with a core value that everyone who serves their time deserves to have a second chance to reintegrate and be rehabilitated, and we give that to everyone but our population. And, you know, the various things that the hurdles that we have. So I think that helped me a lot to understand how to articulate it, because it's a difficult thing to talk about, especially with people who have not even thought about it. You know, I could tell when we spoke to some of our legislator staff members, they were like deer in the headlights. They had never really given this issue any thought. So that was one point. The other thing that I really appreciated was the opportunity to meet so many fantastic people. I'm so impressed with Janice and so glad to have gotten to know her. I probably will call on her for legal help. I communicated with Professor Logan and got his book. But most importantly, I met some new friends here in St. Louis going through the same thing. And I think that we're going to be a good support group for each other. And that means the world to me, because I felt like I was kind of floating around by myself in my shrunken social circle. Also, I would like to go to the meeting in Houston. I think it is important to become one big group. And I will also mention, I just got a letter from my son today, who's incarcerated, and he thanked us for coming to that meeting, going to the meeting, and getting involved in this on his behalf. So
good.
That made me feel good.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Joanne, if you want to lower your hand. We're going to go to Emmy. I'm going to unmute you, Emmy. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First, I have a question. The email that you want us to send to the people for the bus, do you just want us to tell her what happened, like that we were
right
there?
Right.
Okay.
Just what you saw, what you heard. That's it.
Okay. And yeah. Second, I guess I'll have to tell her that we were with war, so she knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I figured it out. If we paid Uber for 70 people, it would have literally cost us, with a tip, $350.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe forget the bus next time.
Well, yeah.
It was one way, though.
Right.
One way. But still, that was ridiculous, the amount that they charged.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I was kind of like disappointed about was I really, really thought there'd be a lot more people from that area, like where they did, because, you know, the trip is not cheap. Not everybody, I know a lot of people that would have loved to have come, but they, you know, they couldn't afford it to fly, hotel. But I just thought that a lot more people would show up from that surrounding area where they could just drive up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some people did, you know, and a big shout out to the people who jumped into action. And this was a credit to Bill Dobbs, because he said early on when we announced we were going, he said, you know, just focus on the people around D.C. Because they're the most likely to be able to come
to attend. Yeah.
So we had, and the group from Michigan were just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Gorley's group, and they sent people from other states. Actually, Roger helped. Just different people helped to send out email to a specific zip code to get people there. So there's more and more people that know about, you know, there's groups out here trying to do something, whether they could come to that or not. You know, we don't know their situation, but there's more and more people. So it's
and
all
another
good.
Another thing I wanted to know was, why did we not get an appointment with our Missouri representative, the one that we just kind of went into their office?
Well, are you talking about the senator that we went?
No, the other one. I think it's Eric Schmidt.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He's not a representative. He's a senator.
Yeah, I know we went in there, but why did they cancel our appointment?
They never gave us one.
what, I mean.
Eric was a state legislator in Jefferson City, Missouri. He had no time for us then. He would look right past us when, you know, so that's just the way some people are. And so it was, I knew we weren't going to get an appointment with him. That's why we went on in there anyway. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the way. And other people experience the same thing. They couldn't get an appointment. And it's either people, you know, and some people were genuinely busy, booked up, whatever. But again, we have to keep pushing and we have to push our way in. That's just, I don't mean literally, right? But we just have to keep.
Yeah, going. Literally.
Well,
anyway. What I want to say about the trip was we loved it. There was four of us from Springfield that went. It was awesome. My favorite thing. Thank you, Vicky. We really appreciate you doing all this. And I want to thank all the other speakers that were there. That was awesome. My favorite thing of the whole, all of it was fantastic, but my favorite thing was when the panels got together and said that they all wanted to work together. To me, that was like the highlight of, for me it was anyway, that was like the highlight of the whole conference, was that we're going to band together to work toward this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came down from the stage, which where I didn't want to be, but the guy, the scout, the video, the documentary scout, he shook my hand and he said, yesterday was a very long day, but I learned a lot. And he said, I called Nick and he's on his way. That's the producer, right? So he called him. And so it was a go, right? And so he came and he went with us for the rest of the events. So anyway, it's all good. And I'm really glad to know, Emmy, I was really worried about the four of you, hoping we didn't have to go bail you out of jail somewhere.
Yeah.
Just joking.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, Emmy. Right. Okay. All right. So let's see. We're going to go over to, whoops, hold on. I'm jumping around here. Okay. Kathleen and John Garner. John.
Hold on. Sent me on her behalf. This is my first time attending any kind of lobbying in a large group like that. And it was quite an experience for me. I'd never even been to D.C. before. And getting around, walking the halls was, you know, just kind of gives it a whole new color to what we're doing. But as far as senior legislators, I had the same issue. I'd contacted two of them from home. And even talked to one office on the phone, never got a call back. And when I showed up at the one senator's office, explained to him I'd contacted your office, but you never gave me an appointment, I got the very polite, well, he's not here. If you have any literature, and that was about it, which fortunately, Roger handed me one of the war pamphlets and I stuck my business card on it. And we went about our way. But what impressed me, we were in a group of five. We went to with this couple to their representative from Virginia. Of course, their representative wasn't there. And they asked for a staff member to sit down. And they finally got somebody. And while they're explaining the story about their son, and we were also giving information about statistics and what it does to families, he acted very surprised. He didn't realize what the registry does and how it affects families. And he was taking notes. And as Roger said earlier, he was asking questions. So I take that as a positive sign that people need to be educated what this is all about, yeah, not just scare tactics. And the next day going to the Supreme Court, and I got a chuckle when the coffin was carried in and set down. Those cops on the front steps really wanted to get over there in a hurry to see what the hell was in that box. I guess they were disappointed there was nothing in it at all. But the number of people, and there was a lot of school groups there and people listening in that were walking by on the sidewalk in front there. And I didn't observe any sideways looks, no disparaging remarks, comments, nobody trying to protest anything. But I also couldn't help but notice there was literally at least one or two cops in every single corner there at the Capitol. That may have something to do with it. I'm not sure. But I enjoyed the whole experience, except for on the flight home. I think I caught COVID from somebody in there because I got sick about 2 days later.
Oh, no.
And I passed it on to somebody else.
Yes, I got a souvenir.
Yeah, we've been to our doctors. We're being good. We're getting treated. But this experience was really an eye-opener for me. And I just hope we get enough people who have sympathetic ears and a common sense head, you know, when they decide what these measures they want to do. You know, let's stick the knife in, stick another knife in. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's twist it a little. You know, that's not enough. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that was my experience. And if at all possible, if they do it again next year, I'd look forward to going again.
Okay. Thank you, John. And if you'll lower your hand, we're going to go to Anne. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. I'm going to unmute you. Anne, so you're on. And we've got to make sure we get to everybody. So,
yes. Be speedy. So, for me, you know, it's a great conference. I echo everything everybody said about just thanking you for all your hard work. I thought the most compelling speech that we heard was when Galen was talking about how when he works with people on the Hill, he said there's already, like, that the people who are working in the legislators' offices, they know that this registry isn't working. They know it's just wasting a lot of money, and that they are ready to end the policy of just like carving out, you know, well, it's unfair. We're only going to worry about the people, you know, the people with this level of offense. And then we're going to worry about the people with this level of offense, leaving the people with the worst offenses on the registry. He was very compelling, but I'm having a hard time saying what he said. But basically, it was like, if we're going to argue that the registry is unjust, if we're going to argue that it is in fact punitive, that it's unconstitutional, et cetera, we can't do that just for certain people on the registry.
Yeah.
We have to argue that the entire registry is a mess and the whole thing is wrong, mm-hmm. and that argument is much more compelling than if we try to just piecemeal it and say, well, you know, it's really unfair for this person and this person and this person, but less unfair for these other people. You know, the idea that that they understand that it's not working and that they just need public sentiment to get behind them, because, you know, in the same way that you know, all these prosecutors earned their stripes on, you know, I'm getting tough on crime and I'm going to double the restrictions or double the penalties. And then they doubled it again. And then they doubled it again. Nobody's gonna earn any political credit for dismantling the registry. So we have to give them popular support. We need to, you know, grassroots organize people around us to from the bottom say, this is messed up. You're wasting money. It's not effective. You know, 95% of crimes are done by someone that the victim already knows. So having an ankle monitor on strangers on the corner doesn't really help. You know, we need to start talking among the people that, you know, at a lower grassroots level to give the legislators the cover that they need to repeal this shitty legislation.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ann. Okay. We're going to go to lower your hand if you don't mind, Ann.
Yep.
Vicki Campo, go ahead.
Hi there. Let me turn on my camera here while I'm speaking. I was really energized by the conference. Like a couple of other people mentioned, you know, you feel like you're working in a vacuum. All our little Arizona peeps, you know, our two old ladies down at the legislature. So that was really nice to see. One of the things that I thought was really moving was during the vigil when, I don't recall his name, but the young man read the names of everyone who had died indirectly or directly because of the registry. And he had said afterwards that he would be willing to share that list. And I wonder if, you know, do we need to opt in or if that's in the works or how I would follow up with that. And also whether there are any photos or videos that we could share on our own social media.
Okay. Let me start with the vigil. Chuck has been working on the film of the vigil. It will be ready next week. It will be on our Innocent Victims YouTube page. And so you'll be able to see it there. He has also, Derek shared his speech, the pages with us. Chuck, have you got that put anywhere or what?
Not yet, but you know, we'll post it. And you know, the names that he read, I think, I don't know how many there were, a couple hundred, but I believe he had more than 10 times that many names that he didn't read. So that was just a small sample of the names.
Wow.
Right. And he cut it short due to, you know, the time, of course, but mostly because, you know, it was cold. People were cold and the wind was blowing and all of that. So,
sure.
Yeah, but we will make available. And if you want to, let's see, I think I have it. And I can send it to you if you want it now. I can try to send it to you either tonight or tomorrow. If you want to, put your name in the chat box, then I will send it to you and you'll have that, but you won't have the video yet. Now, after that, Chuck will be processing the other, everything else that was recorded at the conference. And that will be up also, but the vigil went first. So.
Thank okay. you. I just sent you my email address.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Let me see. Chuck, do we have anybody on the second page? Anybody? I don't see any hands up, but I don't know if there's space for hands to go up there.
No, I don't. Well,
I don't see any on third page. So
one hand up, Courtney Liddy.
I think that was Raymond and he didn't.
Are you there, Raymond?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what, I guess. Okay.
I don't understand what you said, Chuck.
I lowered the hand earlier and it went back up. So
whose hand?
I think it's Raymond, Courtney.
Oh, okay.
But
okay. We're going to recognize Jim, Zezo. Jim, I unmuted you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I should say something because I was determined to get there no matter what. And at first, you know, I didn't know where I was going to sleep on a Saturday. But thank goodness I'm involved with more than one advocacy group, Restorative Action, Amber Vlagas. She did a lot of the legwork and help and so was very supportive. I was very surprised of many of the registrants that are very successful, even though they are on the registry. And some of them I roomed with. And for all the people, just about every state was represented in Washington, D.C. And I appreciated, you know, that everybody's involved. And like I says, Amber did a lot of the legwork. And we did about seeing the representatives. She made the appointments. And we had a real good time going to see our appointments. She's a wonderful lady. And I just appreciate you had all very good food and pop I was looking forward to winning something, and I love the Dairy Queen gift card you gave me. I got Buster bars from Dairy Queen, so I loved winning something as well. Mm-hmm. And I hope I can go again. So thank you.
Okay. All right. Then let's see. I'm just going to unmute somebody on the second page. Can I unmute them, Chuck? Suzanne Clable?
You can unmute anyone.
Just ask to unmute. Okay. Let me see if I can unmute Joyce Eaton. Okay, I'm not able to do hers either, Chuck.
Okay. Yeah, all you can do is click the ask to unmute. There you go.
Hi, Vicki. This is Joyce. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Yes.
Did you have a question for me or?
No. I was just, I wanted to see if anybody, hold on just a minute. Hold on. I activated my phone. Sorry. Okay. No, I was just wanting, we didn't have any hands raised on the second and third page. And I was just kind of puzzled by that. So I was just going to click and see if a few people had some things to ask. Okay. That's all.
Well, I don't have any question, but
okay.
I'm one of the ladies from Springfield here, and we just had such an amazing time. It's like everyone else said, every speaker was wonderful. The vigil was wonderful. The place, the hotel was wonderful. The food, everything. We just had a wonderful time. Thought you and everyone else involved in planning it did such a great job. And we're so thankful that we were able to go. And it's so wonderful to look up across the top of the screen and see people that I know that I met. And I see Joanne and Sharon and Roger. I mean, there's just so many that I met while I was there. Now I know these people.
Yeah, makes a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. It mm-hmm. does. It's good for your heart.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, we encourage everybody to, if you can, to go to the NARSL conference in, it's actually in Houston in June. And it's at the Marriott by Hobby Airport. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what everybody can do or can't do. And then Janice's conference is going to be, if I recall right, it's in October. And I think it's probably going to be at the law school where she had her other events. And that's in Los Angeles. So anyway, but that's where we're going to try to keep things rolling and get as many things resolved and get as many people working to help our effort and get us organized to the point where we can make a difference and get rid of the registry, right? We have proof that it's not working, and we just have to convince people. And that's one of the things that Rachel Barkle said to us was that, you know, enlist the people that care, get somebody to read the empirical research data, and the registry will fall. And Rachel is a professor that in New York. So and she was on the United States Sentencing Commission. And I was there with Charlie Sullivan the last time that she was part of the commission, and they were hearing an issue with ours. But anyway, so, okay, anybody else got anything to speak about? If you guys want to talk about anything else, we could do that. Or the people that weren't able to attend, if you want to raise your hand and you want to talk, that's fine too. So we'll give it a minute and see if anybody raises any hands, and we will go from there. Chuck, do you see any?
No.
Okay. Okay. And I think, where is he? Let's see. John Sarna. Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me okay? I've been having some microphone trouble.
You sound like Mickey Mouse.
I know. I'm also fighting off a cold.
No, you sound really kind of strange. I don't know what kind of microphone you're using or whatever.
An old one. Oh. I sent you a direct message. So let me just bring that up. You partially answered some of the questions I had for you. But I'm curious to have one full media in the D.C. area, around the D.C. area, cover the events and what sort of impacts the media coverage had on what you were doing, any of the topics, any of the events.
Okay, I think you were asking, about media. And we reached out to the media, believe it or not, we did. But they're not going to jump on our issue in a heartbeat. And we thought the funeral procession and all of that would be, something that would draw the media, right? I did talk with Glenn Martin. Some people know him. Maybe most don't. But Glenn was heavily involved in, he started just, the group that, Dennis, which one is it? Just Leadership USA. Okay. He started that group. He was also a major player in trying to get Rikers shut down. So my point being is that he's very well known. He's very well connected. And I said, we had trouble getting people to speak and getting much attention. And he said, it's going to take time, Vicki. It's going to take time. And so we just have to stay after it, right? We had the documentary crew there. So I think that's a plus, right? And they contacted us. We didn't contact them. Okay. So I think that's, something to be proud of. And, I let people at the Washington Post know. I let other people know. But some either don't want to engage in our issue because they're not educated or otherwise. I don't know. So anyway, anybody else? Oh, Teresa. Karen, your hand was up first. Karen.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't able to go, and I wished I could have. I just wanted to thank you guys for doing everything that you do. Those T-shirts, is there a way to order some of those? The teamwork makes the dream work?
Are you the one that sent the email?
Yes.
Okay. I got a note here. I was going to go back and look at it. Yes, we can. We can send those if you want to. Send me an email at Vicki, or just send it to contact@warfamilyfoundation.org and with your address, and then we will ship them to you, and you'll have to pay the postage to get it there. But just tell me, we don't have any small, we have medium, large, and extra large. So
okay, just put that in the emails at contact at
warfamilyfoundation.org.
foundation.org. Okay. And just put that information in there. Okay.
Right. And we're also going to offer, because we had, 60 t-shirts, we're going to also, try to bring them to NARSO and, let them sell them and, you know, keep the proceeds. And the same thing with Janice's group.
Okay.
Keep that going. So.
Okay. Cause my son, me and a friend are going to wear them, and also my son, who will be getting out in June, wanted to get a t-shirt too. So I just thought I would ask if there's any way to do that. So thank you.
Oh, okay. That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
If you lower your hand, please, and we're going to go to Teresa.
Hi, everybody. Hey, I just want to say that I think the conference was great. My husband and I, we learned so much. We're very new to this. In fact, the day we flew home on March 9th, that was the day last year that everything started. So 1 year from the day that my son got arrested and he went to prison was the day we flew home from Washington. Ironic, huh? So Vicki, you did a great job. It was great. I did just email the best people, wanted to let you know, because I did hear the conversation. I want to thank everybody that we met, that I talked to. I can't make the conference, the next one that's in Texas, but I sure hope we can come back to Washington next year. And like I said, just thanks for everything. And it was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Janice, went out on a limb. Janice is the one that's going to organize the vigil next year.
I do that sometimes, Vicki. I go out on a limb. Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I did want to say one more thing. What I did learn when we went to speak with legislatures and we only got to speak to their little, you know, paid staff, I finally just started asking the direct question, what do you know about the registry? And I was quite surprised. They knew nothing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then sometimes I just wonder when our legislatures, they make, you know, decisions, they just base it on whoever's there and they know nothing. So that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Right. And, yeah, they don't know. The public doesn't know. There was, you know, people that walked up, like someone said at the vigil, and said, hey, what are you guys doing here? You know, and that was an education process too. So, anyway, we have to learn to use our elevator speech, and we have to open those doors. And I can guarantee you, you can come back to me and say, oh, you're wrong, but it's been my experience over the years that when you tell people, you talk to people, they'll say, oh yeah, we have a family member that's on the registry. Oh yeah, I know somebody, or, you know, whatever. You know, even when I was making copies for not this year's conference, but before, the lady working at the USPS office said, said something about, yeah, I have a cousin that's on the registry. There's a lot of people out there that know somebody that is on the registry, and you don't know what they know about them, you know, as far as what they're there for or anybody else is there for. But here's the bottom line, you know, when does the punishment stop? When does redemption begin? And those kind of things. That's the questions that need to be asked. So, okay. We're going to, Chuck, do you see any more hands?
One more.
Where's that?
Wayne Bowers.
Wayne Bowers. Oh, Wayne, where are you?
Go ahead.
Up in the corner, Vicki, above you. Vicki, I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the conference, but we did have three CureSort board members that were there, two at the conference and one at the vigil. CureSort's been in operation since 1990. And for those of you who don't know, we're the issue chapter with National Cure, Charlie's organization. That's the issue chapter for issues of sex offenses. And, of course, there wasn't a registry when it started. I began with it in 1993. And it's just so, I remember the first NARSOL conference in 2009. And then I remember, as you started, Vicki, and it's so encouraging to see more and more organizations coming along and getting involved. And I think this is a topper. From all the comments I've heard from our people that were there that I've talked to and from listening tonight, I think this is an excellent move forward. And to you and Janice Belusi, Janice, it's good to see you again. And congratulations on putting this together. And I think this is a great start. I like the idea of a coalition. If you need us to talk with you or Charlie, I'm sure we'd be open to being a participant in that if you want to. So, congratulations. I hear some of the comments from some of the people of seeing people that you now recognize that you saw before. And I know what that's all about. I remember when I got out of prison, you know, and finding out all of a sudden there's other people just like me. And I can tell some of the things I've heard tonight that you're experiencing that. And that's what an organization together and groups together can do. So congratulations. And we just look forward to the future.
Good. Yeah, I think it's promising. And Janice and Brenda and I are going to do everything we can do. And then we'll be adding things, you know, once we get the firm base, then we'll be adding people and things. And, you know, with everybody pitching in and we're going in the same direction, we'll get there. So, yeah, we aim to get there. So, and the first time I met you, Wayne, was at a RSOL conference at Mary Sue's church, at the church in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. I was at the first one in Boston.
Yeah.
And I remember when we met at the church. Yep.
Yeah. And the first we got involved in with the 2011 RSOL conference when they decided to have it here in the St. Louis area.
Yes.
And I got involved with that, and it was the first one that they had at a hotel. So anyway, okay, we're going to stop jawing here. So if anybody doesn't have anything else, if you've got, let's see, Zoom call coming up, keep me posted. Let's see if I can ask. Yes, there, Jim, the speakers, everything that was recorded will be on YouTube, but it's going to take some time to get that process. I got the names of the people that want to get a copy of Derek's script. I will get that to you as soon as we get off here. If anything else comes up, just send us an email at contact@warfamilyfoundation.org and we will get that. So thank you all, and we're gonna say bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.